Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 9th. I'm Abby Larico. A new Midwest Newsroom investigation found that many rural school districts in the Midwest aren't identifying and helping their unhoused students with the assistance they qualify for.
I think the challenge is almost circular. You don't see the students, so you don't think that they're there, so you don't set aside enough funding to have the capacity to go out and find the students.
That story ahead on The Gateway. A new federal rule will require the removal of lead pipes in the St. Louis region. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
St. Louis City is estimated to have the seventh most service lines containing lead pipe in the U.S., according to the Natural Resources Defense Council. The Environmental Protection Agency will now require drinking water systems to find and replace those pipes within 10 years. Valerie Barron is a senior attorney at the NRDC.
This rule does require utilities to get more specific in identifying and locating dangerous pipes, but for now we know that lead pipes are something that folks in St. Louis ought to be aware of and concerned about.
The EPA announced Missouri will receive $40 million in new bipartisan infrastructure law funding to remove lead pipes. I'm Kate Grimke, St. Louis Public Radio.
There's more turnover at St. Louis Public Schools. Just days after Director of Transportation Toyin Akinola announced she will retire on October 31st, another top administrator announced his resignation. DeAndre Davis, the district's Director of Safety and Security, resigned this week. He said in a statement that he's proud of the work he's done and wishes his colleagues, quote, nothing but the best. Their replacements have yet to be named. The departures come as the district is still managing an ongoing shortage of bus drivers, relying on a slew of private vendors to get kids to and from school. The region's Planned Parenthood affiliate plans to shut down two of its St. Louis area health centers in November. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports Planned Parenthood Great Rivers will also close a clinic in Joplin to focus on telehealth and expand services at other centers.
Missouri law bars Planned Parenthood from providing abortions in the state, but the organization operates several clinics that provide family planning, screenings, and other services. Planned Parenthood officials say they're expanding hours in some locations and eliminating other locations to better match patient needs. They say most patients aren't tied to a single clinic, but instead travel to an appointment that fits their schedule. Planned Parenthood Great Rivers Medical Officer Colleen McNicholas says patient data informed the decisions.
We really are focusing on what is the everyday experience that our family planning patients are having, the folks who are getting sexual reproductive health care with us, and are we meeting those needs?
McNicholas says the organization had 45,000 patient visits last year. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis judge is considering the fairness of some taxes on marijuana products in Missouri. The case challenges the 3% local sales tax on recreational marijuana in St. Louis and other counties in Missouri, which is in addition to regular sales taxes, a 6% state tax, and a 3% city tax in places where voters have approved it. Cannabis industry advocates say counties should only be able to levy the taxes in unincorporated areas, not on top of the city taxes. This so-called tax stacking changes the maximum local tax from 3% to 6%. They also say this added tax costs Missouri marijuana customers an additional $3 million each month. Oral arguments in the case began Tuesday. Lower courts have previously ruled that provisions in the constitutional amendment legalizing recreational marijuana in Missouri do not limit the taxing power of counties within town and city limits. Missouri's top business group is urging the state's voters to reject a ballot item raising the minimum wage and mandating paid sick leave. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from Missouri Chamber of Commerce Interim President Kara Corchez, who spoke about the issue on Politically Speaking.
Proposition A would raise Missouri's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2026. It would also mandate 1 hour of sick time for every 30 hours worked. Corchez says she's hoping Missourians reject Proposition A, primarily because it would make life harder for the state's business community.
We strongly believe that the bedrock of such free enterprise is allowing business owners to make their own decisions on how to run their workplaces.
So far, Proposition A backers have raised far more money than opponents. Missouri voters overwhelmingly backed minimum wage boosts in 2006 and 2008. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The state of Illinois raked in a record $2 billion last year from sources like gambling and the lottery. Capital News Illinois reports a new analysis from the state's Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability shows half of that figure went toward infrastructure projects, while most of the rest was earmarked for education. Much of the growth in the state's gambling revenues comes from video gambling in bars, restaurants, and truck stops, but sports betting has been extremely popular since launching in 2020. In the last few years, Illinois has seen 5 new casinos open statewide, with a 6th slated for opening later this fall. The state report says overall growth in casino revenues can be attributed to these new casinos, while most of Illinois' legacy riverboats are on the decline. Last year, the federal government allocated $129 million to help students experiencing homelessness get an education. That aid comes from a federal law that often falls short for rural youth. A Midwest Newsroom investigation found the majority of rural school districts in Missouri, as well as Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska, undercount homeless students. The Midwest Newsroom's Kayvon Mansouri reports.
In essence, the McKinney-Vento Act ensures students have equal access to education regardless of their housing situation. The 1987 law requires schools to enroll students who are homeless, provide them with transportation to school, and give them school supplies, among other services. To secure those resources, public schools have to identify eligible students and apply for federal funding. A Midwest Newsroom investigation found only 50 public school districts in Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, and Nebraska receive funding from the McKinney-Vento Act. That's too low, according to Barbara Duffield, executive director for the nonprofit Schoolhouse Connection.
School is really the only universal institution within communities that has that broad ability to identify and connect and provide support.
Duffield's group works to bridge the gap between students experiencing homelessness and school districts. She says schools struggle to recognize students with unstable housing.
If you don't get identified, then you don't get the support that you need to attend school on a regular basis, to be successful in school.
And she says missing out on an education makes it more likely students continue a cycle of homelessness. Across Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska, 525 public school districts reported 0 homeless students in the 2021-2022 school year. An analysis by the Midwest Newsroom comparing data from the free and reduced lunch program and census data shows it's likely there are homeless students the schools are missing. In rural communities, it can be even harder to identify students who are homeless due to the lack of official services for people without housing, according to Kenya Haynes, a program specialist with the National Center for Homeless Education. Haynes works in rural communities to help school districts implement McKinney-Vento.
Sometimes there is a misunderstanding of what the federal definition of homelessness is. People might not understand things about inadequate housing and being doubled up or fleeing unsafe situations.
Last year, the federal government allocated $129 million for McKinney-Vento grant funding. That's for the entire country. Every school district in the country must name a liaison to identify students without permanent housing through enrollment documentation, interviews, and observation. Maureen Tabasco is the homeless education coordinator for Kansas. She works with liaisons throughout the state, who often wear a lot of hats.
I spoke to one liaison who was an assistant superintendent. He was driving the bus. He was working the lunchroom. He was mopping floors.
Those same liaisons must compete through grant applications to receive McKinney-Vento funding. Duffield says it puts well-funded school districts at an advantage over rural schools with fewer resources to identify homelessness.
I think the challenge is almost circular. You don't see the students, so you don't think that they're there, so you don't set aside enough funding to have the capacity to go out and find the students. So we see that circle happening over and over and over again.
In the 2021-2022 school year, Missouri received roughly $1.6 million in McKinney-Vento funding, while Kansas received $750,000, Iowa $697,000, and Nebraska $447,000. Duffield says recent additional funding from the American Rescue Plan Act, specifically for homeless students, helped make more school districts aware of McKinney-Vento.
Yeah, this is doable. This can be changed. There's nothing like throw your hands up in the air. This isn't unsolvable. This is intractable. We can move the needle here. We can definitely move the needle.
Still, Duffield says she hopes more educators learn how to identify housing instability among their students, and that legislators prioritize McKinney-Vento when planning the budget. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Kayvon Mansouri.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration between NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.